Greetings and salutations, good friends, and welcome to Blades in Paradise. My name is Dr. Winston Thoreau, and I will be your guide to the perils and pleasures of our paradise amidst the post-apocalyptic Pacific Northwest. Now, we'll get to the chicanery and shenanigans momentarily, but before we do, allow me to deliver some news. Blades in Paradise is an actual play podcast run in John Harper's Blades in the Dark, and we're sponsored by the developer Evil Hat Games. Use code BARDROCK10 at checkout to save on your order. Bardrock Network is sponsored by Dragon Master Games. Visit DragonMasterGames.com for all your CCG, TCG, TTRPG, and miniature game needs. If you enjoy the stories we tell, you can tip us on Ko-fi or visit us at Patreon.com/BardrockCafe. By sponsoring the network, you not only help us provide an ever-expanding library of shows, but gain access to bonus content, the network Discord, quarterly backer games with the network community, and an annual swag bag. Now, without further ado, let's join Lizzie, Sterling, and Max, as well as myself, the crew of ESPN. Enjoy. Blades in Paradise is a dystopian story intended for adults. These narratives intentionally explore challenging and often difficult-to-listen-to topics. This campaign includes content warnings for gun violence, substance abuse, animal cruelty, child endangerment, and graphic description of physical injuries, including the eyes. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Blades in Paradise, Episode 2. I'm Paul, the Game Master for our first campaign, and today I am joined by my wonderful players. They're going to go around and they're going to introduce themselves, their character, and one cool fact about their character.
Oh, hi everyone. I'm Jim. I'm going to be playing Dr. Winston Thoreau, who is a board-licensed phantasmologist and a board-certified and practicing, I believe referred to as a spectrologist. Fun fact about Dr. Winston Thoreau, his best friend, since he was a child, is an 8-year-old ghost named Corduroy. Just a little ghost boy that he met living at the orphanage, and they have been best friends ever since. He prefers the company of ghosts to those of the living.
I'm Justin. I will be playing Maximilian, otherwise known as Max Graves. He's a very, very, very old man, multiple amputations, and he's a sneaky old codger. But, fun fact about him, he hates pickles. He believes they are the embodiment of evil.
I'm adding evil pickles to my campaign notes as we speak.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Queen, and I am playing Lizzie Calhoun. And a fun fact about her is that she grew up on a homestead, mostly growing cucumbers and pickling them.
That came up very early. That's great. And for those who don't remember from last time, Lizzie is the Hound.
Hi, I'm Riley. I'll be playing Sterling, the fresh and scrappy scoundrel. And fun fact, Sterling's a catastrophic thinker who's ready to tackle some stinkers.
I like the rhyme. Very nice. Last time, the Express Service Parcel Network, or ESPN for short, procured some rare books to deliver to another city. The problem being books are considered rare and valuable and are contraband in the hands of the lower classes. After successfully fashioning some false bottom boxes to ship the books in, they stole an elevator key to get down from the insanely high stairs of Paradise to the ground level, where they boarded the train to Salvation. Winston immediately ditched the rest of the party for a seat in business class, where some bandits immediately got up after the train's departure and declared this was a robbery. Winston, you have just seen these bandits declare this is a stick-up. You count them, 6 in total. 4 of them don't seem particularly stand out, but the other 2 do. A burly mountain of a man with a black Stetson and a red bandana over his face, to the right, and a lean young woman with wavy blonde hair in a white Stetson with a white bandana on the left. What do you do?
I'm trying to decide how braggadocious I would like to be at this early of a stage. Seeing that we have 2 people who tend to be somewhat in the lead right now, I believe once they ask everyone to stick it up, I'm actually just going to hop up on the seat that I'm standing on and very loudly announce, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I would suggest taking a different tact this evening. Maybe sit down, maybe put away your guns, maybe just let us all carry on our business.
And the woman looks at you and goes, and who do you think you are, fella?
Oh, well, for those of you who do not know, I mean, some of you do, I do have business cards I can hand out as well. I am Dr. Winston Thoreau. I am a board-licensed phantasmologist and a practicing spectrologist. And if you do not wish to understand exactly what those terms mean, I would suggest that you stop this heist right this minute. I mean, surrounding you in the middle of this car or the hard-working folks, you know, the ones who have struggled mightily to get up here and are just on their way making it. I mean, if you were really successful robbers or successful bandits or successful whatever you want to call yourselves, you would either head up to first class and take down the, you know, the wealthy elite, or you could just meander back towards the cargo car where you could, you know, procure some items without any collateral damage. But if you want to go after hard-working folks like myself, then I'm afraid I'm going to make you regret that.
Alright, I tell you what, go ahead and roll plus sway for this. I'm going to go ahead and give you a bonus die, because that was a really solid argument.
Okay, so that gives me three. I have two in sway, and that gives me a three, and I think I'm actually going to push myself and take two stress.
Alright.
Ooh, that is a six and a four. 6, 4, 4, 2. So that is a full success.
Full success. The woman looks to the guy and says, you know what, this fellow with all his book learning, he makes some good points. You know, you all in business class, you'll be fine. We won't be shooting any up. We won't take any of your valuables. You are hardworking folks, and we respect that. You know, you boys, she points to the big fella and three of the goons. You go hit up first class and talk to the conductor about procuring a reasonable stop for this vessel. And the big guy goes and blocks off the entrance to first class while the other three go through first class. You know, we are going to head to the cargo car. Does Winston have any, like, apparel that would identify him as a member of ESPN? Like a name tag, a logo? What would you say his typical attire is in relation to his job?
I would say that he is still wearing a full tweed suit with a tie and a, what's the name for that hat? It's not a fedora, but it's like a trilby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know the hat you're talking about. The flat brim that's like got a very narrow top.
Exactly. Like he looks like a door-to-door vacuum salesman and speaks like a door-to-door vacuum salesman. But as far as ESPN logos, I believe he may have a pin or some other kind of like his lapel or on his hat.
All right. I'll go ahead and say it's subtle enough that she doesn't notice. It's like, all right. So tell you what, fella, you stay here. You guys just don't make any trouble for us. And when we're done with this robbery, you got easy peasy and keep go on your merry way. Sound good?
One last thing. There may or may not be a, I guess dismembered is the wrong way to describe him, but a dismembered man sitting on top of a box of cargo. Do not touch that, or you will pay with the penalty of your lives. Okay?
What is the special cargo he's guarding?
It belongs to me, and that's all you need to know.
Gonna have you roll plus sway again. No bonus dice this time. She was okay with not taking your valuables, but the cargo car you specifically told her was okay, so she's already sold in the cargo car.
Okay. Let's go two. That is 2 4s, mixed success.
Tell you what, fella, after I get back there, I will ask that that elderly gentleman you mentioned to just let me see the cargo, and if it doesn't look like anything particularly valuable, I'll leave it. But if it looks valuable, we'll have to figure out at that juncture. Sound fair?
No, I don't think so. You see, as a postman, I have a responsibility to deliver my letters in my mail, no matter what the circumstances, be it inclement weather, be it train car robbery. So I suggest that we just continue on to our destination, and you allow me to continue making my delivery, or else.
Ah. A tarnation! I see it now. You got that little pin on your hat. You're a postal worker. Okay, tell you what, buddy. Why don't we go back there? We'll go through the cargo car together. How's that sound?
That sounds fine to me.
By the way, I just throw you introduce yourself. I'm Swift Taylor. Pleasure to meet you. That big gentleman over there is my friend, Victor Lord. We're Lord and Taylor gang.
fancy.
Anyway, let's just mosey on back to the cargo car then. Lead the way, sir.
I'll introduce you to my compatriots and we can work on an amenable agreement for all of us.
Fantastic. And so she marks you there. She's going to follow you to the cargo car. I have started two clocks. One of them is a moot point because you basically convinced her not to rob anybody in business class or lower. So that was going to be a clock for how quickly she gets to the cargo car. That's just not going to be a clock anymore. And the other one is for how quickly they take control of the train to stop the train. I've made that a six-segment clock, so six rounds. We are on round one. So for the sake of expediency, Winston, you walk them through coach. I'm going to assume that we just make it back to the last coach car and the cargo car without incident, unless you have something you're planning on doing.
I actually do. Once I walk back with Miss Taylor, I am going to signal to Sterling. I'm going to give him sort of a complicated, military hand signal to incapacitate her as we walk through. So I'm going to lead her by, talking her ear off about all the things phantasmal and ghostly and ghastly. And while she's not paying attention, I'm going to signal to Sterling to knock her unconscious.
All right. So basically what you're doing is you're gesticulating while talking in a way that would look like you're just talking with your hands. But Sterling would know, hey, this is my signal to give this person a boppy bop.
Right. To a bystander, I just look incredibly Italian. Yes.
Okay, perfect. I think we said at the beginning of last session, this is your guys' first job really smuggling together, like maybe you delivered regular mail. So Sterling, why don't you go ahead and roll a survey? I'll give you a bonus dice because maybe this is something you're just used to, like the way the Winston talks, having coffee in the break room or something. So we're going to roll plus survey, see how well you read this body language.
Oh, and that's a one.
Hey, we're from 0 to 1. That's great. Yeah, you have no clue. So go ahead and mark experience in survey. And you don't even notice that this lady has her hand on a sidearm. She just looks like Winston's chatting this lady's ear off. And she's just going to leave her friends there. If you think you can justify why you'd be clobbering Miss Taylor, feel free at it, but with what you have, I'm going to go ahead and say that the body language is not telling you she and her posse are a threat to you.
With me being in that back cargo, would I see this? Or back coach, I mean?
Yeah, you have like a sniper's eye. I'd go ahead and say, go ahead, you can also try a survey roll. I'm going to say because you're further away, you do not get the bonus die, because you established you were sitting right behind the door.
5 and a 3, because I have 2 in survey.
Yeah, so with a 5 on survey, that's a mixed success. Obviously, you're too far away to see this woman has her hand on a sidearm, but you do clock right away. She's got a bandana over her face, which you know from experience, usually somebody who doesn't want to be recognized by their appearance. So something clicks to you as like, there's something to miss here. Why has this lady got her face covered?
Okay, and with that, I stand up in front of the door to the cargo with a pair of pistols, one in each hand.
Lizzie, there's not going to be any need for that. I believe her name is Taylor, Miss Swift Taylor, and I have come to a rather, swift agreement. They're going to come to the back. They're going to find something valuable that's in the back cargo car that does not belong to us. They're going to take it for themselves, and then they're going to leave us alone to finish our job. How does that sound to you? And I'm also doing like a head shake no, and just like I'm taking a one step backwards to make sure that I'm giving her kind of a wide berth to do as she sees fit. Right, but I'm trying to make sure that I am very clear to Miss Swift that I'm very much on her side in supporting her robbery.
Right, and Miss Swift has her hand on her sidearm. She said, "Darling, we already talked to your colleague here, and as long as there's supervisor. Nothing of particular. Oh, I'm sorry. Your supervisor.
Supervisor.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
As long as there's nothing of particular consequence in the cargo you're escorting, I have no issue with you. We have no quarrel. But I ask you all help me find some valuables in the cargo you are not escorting.
I'm gonna go ahead and step aside and let them in more to get the rest of our group together so that we're all together before we do a shoot-off.
Yeah.
I don't tell her that. I just kind of step aside so she can go past me. And I signal to Sterling to get up and follow.
So you're going to put those pea shooters away, or are we going to have a shoot-off?
I'd come over to investigate. Yeah, I definitely didn't hear any of that plan, but just the goings-on seems odd.
And don't get any funny ideas, darling. My partner's at the front of the train. If we don't show up, he's going to know something happened, and he can cause a whole mess of trouble for everybody on the train.
Yes, all five of her partners are up in the front of the train, currently robbing first class. All five of her partners.
No. They split up. Three of them in the back, and then three with her. Two of them with her. She does have two goons here with her. She's not by herself.
Okay.
Yeah, so big guy took half the gang. She took the other half the gang. Yeah, but the concern is that the big fella in the front, they're getting the conductor. They could crash the train if you guys don't cooperate.
Do you know what? I actually think, now that you're here, Lizzie, and now that you are here, Sterling, I think that maybe you can help them search through the cargo. Miss Swift, if you don't mind, I'd really like to go help your colleague up front with the train, not derailment, but the train slowing it down and letting you off at the proper step. I mean, I did, after all, take one or two courses in what's that called? Conducting, conducing, conderving, whatever it's called. I know how to do that. So I'm gonna go help him.
I think it's called conductor eating.
Yes, exactly. You are 100% correct. I'm surprised you actually aren't doing it yourself. But I'm going to go help your friend, and you go with my friends, and I will see you in a little bit. And I immediately start heading back towards the front.
All right. She just waves you off like, that gentleman there, he's a, you know, I don't usually think too kindly of management types, like people who call themselves a supervisor, but, you know, he seems like a pretty on-the-level fella.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Anyway, Taylor walks in, and her two goons come in with her, and she's, oh, you must be the old man with the cargo.
Talking about me?
Yes, Swift Taylor, pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Welcome. What do you want?
I'm here to get some valuables from the cargo car. And made an agreement with your supervisor. You all help me find the valuables. I will ignore your cargo. You all help me ransack the rest of these boxes. Which boxes y'all taking?
Well, here's the problem. I actually am the cargo. You see, I am a carrier.
Ha! Ha! Ha!
No, seriously. Where are you from? Maybe you haven't heard.
Oh, I'm from this little town in between Salvation and Paradise. You wouldn't know it. And she actually looks over and like, oh, Lizzie, is that you? How's your pa?
You two know each other?
Lizzie and I have a hometown. Taylor lowers a bandana so Lizzie can see, like, oh, yeah, you definitely, like, recognize, like, she's, like, a neighbor's thing from, like, the homestead you grew up in.
Ooh. Oh, pleasant.
Lizzie, why are you, Swift, why are you robbing this train then?
Because we need valuables, darling. You know how rough it is out in the homestead area. We don't have all the resources you city folk have. You know, so a couple of valuable things we can fence and, like, some supplies.
I ain't city folk.
I know you're not really city folk, but you got a fancy city job with these postal people. So, you know, you're making your way up in the world. Don't sell yourself short, hun.
If I may interject, Lee is fantastic. She has been very helpful in transportation of myself. I'm sorry, I should introduce myself. My name is Maximilian Graves. I am a 24-year-old woman, and the thing that she's transporting is I have the disease and the cure, and I even brought specimens. Do you know about the plague that's hitting the upper cities?
And I pull out one of the dead rats.
Oh, tarnation. She puts her bandana immediately back over her mouth.
It's highly contagious, and I'm supposed to be in the box, but they let me come out to breathe every once in a while. And, well, as I said, I'm in my early 20s, and I used to be a rather comely lass. But you see what the plague has done to me only in about 3 days' time.
All right, so you're going to roll sway. If you roll high enough, she's going to think you're serious. If you roll low enough, she's going to think you're just a senile old man with a dead rat.
Okay.
And then we'll figure out what a mixed success looks like on this.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a stress on that one. So 2d6. I got a 4 and a 3.
That is the definition of mixed success. So she's like, she thinks you are a senile old man, but you might actually be sickly. She's like, okay, you're gonna put your rat friend in the box. And we're going to just leave it on there. So open that box right there and put any rats you have on you in the box where they belong.
I would happily do so, except for the fact that I seem to be missing an arm now. It fell off when I came out of the box last.
Is Max actually missing one of his arms?
Yeah, he's missing a full arm.
Yeah, I know he has a prosthetic. I mean, is the prosthetic not attached?
He has a prosthetic leg.
Oh, I thought he had a prosthetic arm too, my bad.
Nope, just a prosthetic leg and no arm.
Was that in like the like before times in like a war setting or something? Did you serve?
No. I see, the first symptom is you start to age rapidly and then things just begin to fall off. I used to have a rather buxom chest at one point. Those were the first to go.
And she just leans over to Liz like, your friend, he isn't all there.
She almost beat me at arm wrestling yesterday.
Oh, Liz, I appreciate your humor in him, hun, but he's clearly just a senile old man with no arm. It's okay, though. Just go ahead. Liz, why don't you open this chest up and so you can put his rat friend in there?
I just urinate on myself.
I'm not opening the chest.
I pee on myself.
I mean, I will remind you all that the chest Max is sitting on has a false bottom. It's just full of, like, ordinary ass mail. So as long as she doesn't look too close, she'll just see ordinary ass mail. You did get, like, a 5 on crafting these boxes, if memory serves.
I'm taking no chances.
I agree.
Just do what you came here to do and leave her alone.
Yeah, so if you all just, like, and she points to, like, the left side of the cart, and she tells her crew to, like, go through the left for things valuable. And if you all could just go through the right and look for valuable things, a little bit of medicine, a little bit of food, some stuff to help out the homestead, and, you know, just some valuable things we can fence to get those supplies. That's all I'm looking for. Just trying to make a dishonest living. You know, you city folk, you get the easy time. I just get a little bit of that for us country folk. Is everyone cooperating?
So, DM, there's two thugs with her?
There's two thugs with her, yes.
Two thugs with her. Okay.
And I will go ahead and say, because we just established Lizzie knows Swift Taylor, at least by reputation. Swift Taylor is known for having... her name is Swift Taylor specifically because she has very fast gun draw arm. She is the fastest gun this side of Salvation. So if you're going to try anything, just know she has quick reflexes. And if Lizzie can communicate that to you all some way, more power to her.
I'm watching Lizzie for a sign of, are we cooperating? Or...
I start to go over to the side she indicated. Mind you, my pistol is still in my hand. And I open the first crate as I draw on her. trying to do it superficially without her realizing it until it's too late.
All right, so we're gonna roll finesse, I think is the applicable stat here to roll for trying right. to subtly draw your weapon on her.
And I do have one in that. Yeah, that was a one.
Yeah, with a one, I'm gonna say you're doing that, but where you're fumbling with the crate, you drop the crate. I'm gonna give you a devil's bargain here. You either drop the crate or drop.
I dropped the crate.
Either way, you're gonna be in a worse position. Yeah, you drop the crate and everything's just spilling all over. She's like, Lizzie, I thought you could handle this. Just pick it up. She sees like it was just like a crate of like fur, like furs and leathers. Like, actually, that's a pretty nice crate. We'll take that one. You know, we're getting ready for winter here.
Can I tackle her?
I'm sorry? Yeah, sure. Go ahead and roll skirmish to tackle her because she is focused on Lizzie and her back is to you.
Two for skirmish, and I'd like to push for two stress.
Okay. That'll give you three for skirmish then.
Out of six.
Yeah, with a six, Swift Taylor goes to the ground. She was getting ready to draw when she saw that Lizzie had her gun out, but you tackle her to the ground. So she doesn't have a good shot lined up. Her two goons do turn, like, what do you think you're doing? And their weapons are now drawn on Lizzie and Max.
Question.
Okay.
How far away is the one that is drawn on me?
Were you in the act of complying at the time that Lizzie was? Like, because you would have been standing on opposite sides of the train car. A standard train car is about 20 feet wide,
right,
give or take. So, you know, we're talking probably about 10 to 15 feet between the two of you. But they do have pistols drawn on you.
Okay. All right.
That's not Sterling. Sterling, how dare you?
Can I fall backwards?
Sure.
Behind the crate?
Yeah, sure. So you go ahead and that's going to be... You're trying to make it look like it's an accident, I assume?
Yes.
Your choice of prowl or finesse, whichever one you think, if you're trying to be skulky about it or if you're trying to be skillful about it, I'll let you roll whichever one's better for you out of those two.
Okay, I have 2d6 in that one. Ooh, 6 and a 3.
All right, with a 6, you manage to somehow gracefully make it look like you're clumsily falling backwards. And you do the most awkward, like, it looks like you landed on your feet by dumb luck backflip over a crate that you've ever done. It's one of the things where, like, everyone's confident that you'll never be able to do that again. Because it's just like your wildly old man reflexes kicked in.
Okay.
You now have functionally half coverage, and that's not a mechanic in this game, behind this crate.
All right. Right, if no one has any objections, since he's already on the ground, prone, I'm assuming.
Yeah, Sterling and Taylor are both on the ground prone. Sterling is pinning Taylor at the moment. The two goons across from you are standing with their pistols drawn. I gave you the option to land on your feet. If you would like to be prone, that's up to you. Only people who are definitely prone are Taylor and Sterling.
I was asking if Miss Taylor was prone.
Yes, she is prone and pinned down by Sterling.
Okay. Can I point towards her and suggest that Sterling get off while one of the goons, preferably the one that's aiming at me, go help her up like a gentleman would?
Sure, yeah, we can do that. So, Sterling, do you comply and get off of her while one of the goons is coming toward you?
Begrudgingly.
Alright, he's just like, no funny business, and he tries to stay out of arm's reach. He's got a finger on the trigger. He's like, we're going to give you all a pass on that one. It's a very, very uncomfortable situation, high tension.
Good question.
Just let Miss Taylor back up. And we will get back on with our business. No harm, no foul. How'd that sound, fella?
Sterling is rather high strung. I'm much kinder and gentler than Sterling, and as you can see, Lizzie is by all means, trying to help you as well. Would you mind if I... You seem to need some dusting off. Do you mind? Let me help you like a gentleman.
Go ahead and roll sway to try and convince her that she should let you enter her space.
Oh, boy. Okay.
D6.
I'm tempted to, but I will not give you a minus one because Sterling's already tried something funny, so her guard is up.
Right.
But we're just going to let you roll the neutral.
All right. So it's just 1d6 on that one. Got a 3.
Yep. 3, she's like, I appreciate it, hun. But no, I got it. And she stands up. Your only penalty for the mixed success is, like, she's back to trusting you guys, but she does not let you near her.
Okay.
Like, all right, so what we're going to do now, because I'm feeling a little sensitive about how you all are handling. You all are going to go through stuff. We're just going to stand here and wait. And you show us your finds, and that'll be what we do. So the three of you just go through some crates, and we'll keep an eye on you. So she's letting you decide which crates to go through, so your cargo is safe. You just need to find something that satisfies her. That is the compromise you get on these missed successes.
Okay.
Okay.
Enjoy what you're hearing. Rate us on your favorite podcatcher. Reviews on platforms like Apple, Spotify, or Good Pods help new listeners find our content. It's a completely free way to support the show. Thanks for listening.
Most folks don't realize it, but the world is ripe with monsters. And when you have a monster problem, you need someone who is smart.
I came over here, I saw that there was a crime scene, I figured, you know, I'd park here on the...
crime scene.
Brave.
It's just not our fight. We just honk the horn, everybody dissipates, and we just ride away.
And qualified.
If nobody is going to assist David with this, he is going to pull out his nunchucks.
Who gave him those nunchucks?
Van Helmond's family is none of those things, but they're the best we've got, so check them out on Monster Cafe, available now wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Meanwhile, while you all do that, we're going to roll forward to Winston. Winston, you have reached the front of the car at this point. Victor Lord is standing there like, oh, hey there, fella.
Mr. Lord, Miss Swift sent me up here to provide you with whatever sort of assistance I can in selecting a proper and appropriate destination for everything involved. We were thinking that Salvation would be a great place for us to end this little excursion at. And if I think we can agree upon that, then everything is good from here on out.
That weird thing, the train's going to still go to Salvation, sir. You don't need to worry about that. We want to stop somewhere outside Salvation because, as you imagine, the law would not appreciate us having robbed this train. So there is a stop, this little town, it's like a farm town, about a couple miles outside Salvation. We're going to stop the train there, if that's all right.
You're going to stop the train there, and... Okay. Do you think maybe, just maybe, we could just... you know, bypass that whole stop and just go straight towards Salvation.
How do you propose me and my crew get out of here without the law getting involved if we do that?
I'm going to use my special ability Compel to request that a ghost or a spirit join me and possess Mr. Lord and convince him that in this possession that he needs to remove his cohorts from the equation.
All right, how does this ability work? Do you roll for it?
No, I actually do not. So I can attune to the ghost field to force a nearby ghost to appear and obey a command I give it. You're not supernaturally terrified by a ghost you summon or compel. So I am compelling this ghost to come into...
All right, attune is a stat you roll. So we're going to roll attune. And if your attune roll goes well, then we'll see how the plan plays out. Okay, let me scroll down to your playbook and get the exact wording of this really quick.
Yeah. It is going to be attuned, but I don't have to attune to the ghost. I just have to make the attune roll to get him to do.
Okay.
I believe whatever it is, the ghost will do what I tell him to do, but to get him to do something above and beyond, I believe I would have to attune. So I think what I'm going to try to ask him to do is I'm going to ask him to remove Mr. convince Mr. Lord that maybe he should just jump off the train right now.
Okay. All right, guys, go ahead and roll plus a tune. We'll see where we're getting. We'll play it by ear based on what we get. All
right, I'm going to push myself, so I'll take 2 stress here. I'm getting, this has been a rough day so far. All right, and I'm going to roll 3 and a tune. That is 6-2-1.
All right, well, a 6 is a complete success. So, is it fair to say you've been a while since you've, like, done the whole ghost channeling thing?
Yeah, I had been doing it a lot prior to joining ESPN, but I was finding it to be somewhat draining on my nerves, mainly because talking to these people, quite frankly, in these spirits, is just draining. They have a lot to complain about and a lot to whine about. They're always asking you to resolve their unresolved business so they can go off into the afterlife and have peaceful rest, and it's too much. I mean, they're just needy all the time.
Also realize when you got to the city that there's just far less spirits in the city area.
Exactly.
So what you have not done in a long time is done this on a sort of mechanical device in the city. So you're actually, what you see is there's these steam works where, like, all the wires are, like, brass and copper piping along the train.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear this high-pitched whistling sound as you start to compel and attune. And you see a couple of bolts pop out and some steam whistle. And the ghost... someone who died out in the,
a conductor who may have died on the middle of a trip, or someone who was, you know, someone just really enjoyed riding trains.
Exactly. Some sort of train-themed ghost pops out of the ether and possesses this guy, and he goes, you know, we could go all the way to Salvation, but I think my stop is now. And he opens up the train door and jumps out.
Goodbye. Oh, that was the easiest that has gone in quite some time. And then I want to sprint up into the car ahead and try to let his men know exactly what happened, so that way they can hopefully panic and cause it, and I can, you know, stop the robbery in process.
Hey, what are you doing here? Wasn't Mr. Lord guarding the door?
And I run up, and I've unloosened my tie, and my hat's off to the, I'm holding my hat in my hands, and I said, Mr. Lord, I came up to talk to him and ask him where our destination was going to be, and he just jumped right off the train. He said that he could do another stint in the county again, and that if he was so worried about getting caught, and then he started to feel bad because somebody got hurt up in the front of the train in the cargo section, and I'm terrified. I thought I heard gunshots up there, and I don't know what to do.
You just go take your seat. We're going to finish our work here with the conductor. We're just going to stop the train right
now.
No,
at least one of you needs to come with me right now to come help me. Because I swear I heard some gunshots up front. I'm worried about Miss Swift. I'm worried about how this is going. I'm worried that there are people getting hurt. Can one of you please come with me?
All right, roll a sway to convince them to split the party further.
Sure. That is a 5 and a 2.
Fine, like, okay, yeah, but I got my eye on you, and he pulls out his pistol and he's like, lead the way, mister, and he's got, and they'll comply as long as you're okay with the pistol being planted right against your back.
There's no need for firearms at this point in time, sir. What would your mother or father have to say about manners like this? I have been here to support you and advise you and provide you with all of the help that you needed since you walked onto this train. And this is how you repay me?
Yeah, see, I didn't see what happened to Mr. Lord, so I have no reason to think you befell him. And that's what I'm doing above game, make your mixed success, is like they don't 100% trust that you didn't throw their guy off the train, because you did.
Man, look at me, I'm a tiny little fancy boy.
Yeah, so like, he's just being cautious. He's like, it's just a precaution. As long as you comply, you won't get shot in the gut. I'm sorry, the kidney. I think it's the kidney area.
Oh, fine.
I did 2 sections of first aid back in when my schooling days.
Fine. All right. Let's go on to the next car. Come on, we have to get up to the front.
All right. Oh, you're leading them to the front. You're not going back towards cargo. I thought you were leading them back to check.
Oh, that's what I mean. Towards the back. Sorry, that was a misspoke.
Okay, fantastic. We have to get back. The other one is going to finish towards the conductor. You make your way towards. You get through business class and you get to coach. Do you want to do anything while you're in coach? Or are you going all the way back to your coach?
While we're in coach, I would like to attune to the ghost field to make the lights go out.
All right, you can absolutely do that. Roll attune.
All right, that's two boys. Ooh, that's a 3 and a 4.
All right, so what does it look like when you attune? Like, what is the physical, like, how do you go about doing it? Is there, like, equivalent to, like, some sort of somatic thing you do? Do you, like, how do you, what does your physical positioning look like when you do it?
I believe it's a lot of, it looks like someone is either conducting, and it looks like someone is conducting an orchestra. So I really kind of just pull my hands out to the side, and I'm trying to disguise the fact I'm doing something by almost making it look like I am stretching, or I am having like a muscle spasm or some kind of, I'm just kind of reaching my arms out to stretch as I kind of flash my arms.
All right, so I'm going to say is with a mix, you all found a myriad of things.
All right, can you lead the way? I can't see
where you found some medical supplies. She's going to have to run away out of that one. He is not trusting. He takes like a step back.
Crate of some
medium quality valuables. Like you wouldn't say, you do hear pocket watch.
Hey, what on earth was that?
I have an itchy trigger finger. This is a robbery.
Your boss is in the back room. I like shoot. I like Laura.
What happened to the lights?
There's a reason that you are an underling. You don't think these things through.
How's it going in front of the train?
It's very simple. We are on an old train that is not well run and well maintained, and we're in coach. They don't take care of the people in coach.
Oh, all right, that's fair. And he reaches up to him with his left hand. He like clicks a little thing on his sets, and he has like a miner's lamp on there. He's like, okay, let's keep going. Lawmen are after us. That man could walk off being hit by the train.
I watched him hit the ground and bounce like 35 feet. Like, it literally looked like a tumbleweed of flesh.
Tumbleweed of flesh? That used to be my nickname in college.
All right, tell you what, go ahead and roll study to try and figure out whether or not she's on the level with you about the fact Mr. Ward could walk off jumping out of a 70-mile-an-hour train.
That's a 5.
You can tell, like, the way you're reading her, like, no, she's serious. You just pissed off a mountain of a man who definitely lived through that jump. You think that might come back to bite you later if you encounter Mr. Lord again?
Oh, I had nothing to do with it. I was walking up to go talk to him, and he just, of his own volition.
This isn't what she's telling you. I'm telling you above game. He saw a ghost pop out of nowhere. You shoved a ghost in him, and he jumped off a train. He's gonna remember that. You were like, the thought you have in your head is, does he know he got possessed?
You act like this doesn't happen all the time. This seems like a very common occurrence. I mean, it happened to me on the way to work today.
Burn that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, so like, I'm just saying, like, based on your experience, you're like, oh, I think he might know I caused him to be possessed. What with all my threatening to possess him with ghosts at the beginning of his encounter and things. You aren't 100% sure how stupid he is, but you think he might not be that stupid. Anyway, she's like, no, he'll be fine. He'll meet us at the rendezvous.
Oh, that's right. While I was up there with him, he told me that we needed to go all the way to Salvation, that we needed to not make the stop that is scheduled after all. He said the law was going to be waiting for us at the stop, and we needed to just bypass them, go straight towards Salvation.
Tell you what, just roll a flat d6 for luck. What is your roll?
I think you know what I rolled, Paul.
Yeah, that's right. That's kind of what I suspected would happen.
That's a 1.
And so as you finish saying that, you hear the squeaking of the train easing to a halt. Because the one guy you sent up front convinced the conductor to stop, because the conductor didn't want to get shot in the head.
You know, he's going to be very mad at that guy who's up at the front of the train. I mean, he gave specific instructions. I mean, the guy behind me can tell you.
Winston, hon, you don't need to try so hard. We're not taking any of your stuff. That was what you asked. I'm honoring my end of the deal. You know, does any of these three crates that I'm taking belong to you guys or yours? Well, then you get to go about your business. I'm letting you go about your business. You let me go about mine. And tell you what, I'll put in a good word, Mr. Lord. Whatever you did to convince him to jump off that train, if you did do something, I'll convince him not to exact revenge on you. Let's just part ways all civil-like. How'd that sound?
Max, Lizzie, Sterling, thoughts?
As the train comes to a halt, would it lurch at all?
It's easing to a halt because the conductor doesn't want to do any fishy and get shot, so it's coming to the kind of gentle stop it would do at an actual train stop.
Am I standing behind her?
Positioning-wise, I think maybe, but there are two other goons, one of which does still have their pistol trained on you. Three. Oh, yeah. No, I meant the two that are already in there. One's only at risk of putting a pistol up to Winston. You get the impression, if you do anything, the guy with a pistol up to Winston's back is going to shoot his kidney out.
I need that kidney. Or drink it.
So that is the situation you all read. Like, you could try and fight this out, but... There's a good chance that if you don't all roll, say, sixes on your rolls to skirmish with these guys, Winston and Lizzie, at least, are going to get at least one nasty bit of harm on them.
Saddle up to Max and say, rat me, and hold out a hand. Can I have a dead rat?
I still have the rat in my hand, so I cautiously and quietly slide the rat into his hand.
How close can I get to the one that has the gun to our good doctor?
That one is the furthest from you. I feel like you would... I mean, if you want to roll prowl and try and move very, very nonchalantly across the entire train car, because Max is towards the back and Winston's towards the front... odds are they will probably notice you're up to something.
And I stumble forward, clutching my chest, going,
Elizabeth, I'm coming back to your good graces. I await your arms outstretched with arms
I start running to the thieves and yelling, where's that medicine that we just handed you? And then throw the rat at the one with the gun.
All right, you're throwing the rat, the one with the gun, on Winston.
I'm so sorry if this goes bad.
Go ahead and roll skirmish to throw a rat, unless you think, throwing a rat's kind of like an improvised thing, so I think skirmish is fine, unless you, like, it doesn't give you wreck. Let's go skirmish.
I'm gonna shoot at the one that's pointing a gun at me at the same time.
All right, we can do that. We resolve this one thing at a time. So first, the rat is going through the air. That's determining whether or not Winston gets shot.
Oh, joy.
All right, I'm going to take some more stress to try not to kill our friend here.
You know what? I'll take stress and give you the help action so I don't get injured. That's another die.
I'm just
gonna give him a... I see you running, and I just give him a bump, bump with my behind.
That was a very good choice. It went from a critical fail to a 5.
All right, a 5, a mixed success. You throw the rat in this guy's face, and he, like, flails with one hand, but he also had an itchy trigger finger, but he also took a step back. So he fires his gun wildly. To everybody except for Winston, roll a d6, and whoever rolls lowest would be the one he actually shoots.
Wait, should we roll for the bad guys too, if it's a wild shot?
Tell you what, Winston, roll, and if you roll the lowest, then it'll be one of the baddies.
That's a 1. It is really a 1.
Really? Oh my gosh. Alright, yeah, so this guy shoots his buddy in the side. I believe, I wasn't sure if you were joking or not. Yeah, no, that's the 1. Okay, so. This guy shoots his buddy in the side, and the buddy's like, ow, what'd you do that for? And that was the one that Lizzie was about to shoot, so Lizzie, you get a bonus die to shoot this guy.
A perfectly executed plan.
Alright, and I do finesse for shooting, and I'm gonna take...
Or, I think it might be hunt, maybe? Whichever one's better for you.
Hunt?
I think it's, hunt, I think, is track. Yeah, because I think hunt is, like, specifically, like, I'm sharp shooting, is what I think it's supposed to be for.
But... Yeah, hunt's attack with precision shooting.
6, 3, and 2.
All right, so are you looking to, like, fatally shoot this guy or just, like, shoot the gun out of his hand? What are you doing?
Shoot his hunting or his aiming arm so he can't pick the gun up again.
Yeah, you actually, like, with a 6, you lace the bullet right through this guy's sugar hand. The gun goes off to the side. Like, ow! What'd you do that for? Ow! And at this point, Swift Taylor has gone ahead and... she has moved, and she pulled both her pistols out. She has one fixed on Sterling and one fixed on Winston. Okay, y'all, I am not playing around. You're going to load my three crates off this cargo cart, and either one of you makes any funny moves, I'm going to shoot you both.
Okay, so I'm going to take a look at her, and I'm going to slowly raise my hands up, and I'm going to put them down by my side, and I'm going to say, all right, nobody here wants to get shot any more than they already have been. I think it's time that you get off the train right now. You have what you need from first class. You can leave the medicine and the food for the people who need it. All right? And I'm telling you this right now. This is the best deal that you're going to get. Take your men, get off the train, leave. And I'm going to try to command her to get off the train.
I'm going to take a stress for that.
All right, go ahead and roll command.
There's 652.
It's like, you know, you drive a hard bargain. Tell you what. So you said I can take that box of valuables and what I already got from first class?
The valuables are fine. Take whatever you need from first class. The food and the medicine go where they're needed most. I might be a scoundrel, but I'm not a son of a bitch.
All right, here's the thing, sir. I will agree to your terms, but I do want you to know. The little podunk homesteader town I'm from, we have sick folk too. You could let me take two of them bottles of that penicillin and just a little bit of those non-perishable foods, just enough to fill a bag. We can call it even. How's that sound?
Deal.
You get to take most of it to the city with you.
How about you leave them and I come visit home? With it properly transported.
I'm going to go ahead and say you actually know, like, the homesteaders are widely considered to be outlaws. It's like something you don't openly talk about in front of most people, that you're a homesteader. Because anyone who's choosing not to live there, so, like she's above the level here. I want you guys, like, you can specifically read that as, like, no, hey, I just want to, like, there's people who benefit from that food and medicine right now. I don't really want to wait for it. But, like, that's the read you get. Now, if you want to still try and sway her, you can. But, you know, you can read she's on the level. She's also just trying to take care of her people, which is why she was trying to get a crate of food and a crate of medicine.
Because I don't want to take stress and I have no sway, I'll let her go with the two bottles of penicillin.
Like you folks, I appreciate what you did here. I understand you're hardworking folks. You just didn't want to do the train. I feel like we respected that. The next time we meet, maybe a little less violence and a little more cooperation. But I'm happy with this agreement we've made. And her goons take the stuff. Happy travels to you. And they hop off the train.
How about the next time we meet, you do it the legal way, and I try and help you as much as possible.
That's one of the things I love about you and your family, Lizzie. You all still have that optimism that we all don't have no more. And she departs the train unless you all have, like, I want to make a third or fourth, I lost count, attempt at thwarting her robbery. Yeah, but you mostly thwarted it. Like, she took some stuff from some rich people you don't care about.
No, I'm
and
good.
She took a minimal amount of essential supplies to help out some people you get the impression are legitimately in need.
Miss Taylor.
Yes, it was Max, wasn't it?
Yes. May I approach? I would like to convey my deepest sympathies and my regrets, if I may approach you.
She holsters her gun, she puts the safety on. Roll sway to convince her that you just want to apologize for everyone's behavior.
Sure. That is a... let's see, sway is 1d6.
I'll take a stress to help you.
Ooh. No need. I got a 6.
All right, she's like, what? All right, fine. What do you want to approach me for, hun?
I just... There's some certain things that you need to know. You're talking about the people in your hometown and when next we meet, and I'm a very old man. As you can see, I'm not quite all here.
I kind of point to my lack of an appendage.
Honestly, I just... May I approach you and apologize like a gentleman?
You know, that would be right fine of you.
I hobble up best I can, as close as I can. I look her in the eyes and say,
you're a young woman. You had many years ahead of you. But you pissed me off.
And I try to stab her in the neck.
Oh! Alright, roll skirmish to try and stab her in the neck.
Okay. I got a 5.
Alright, so with a 5, you do stab her in the neck. However, her 3 goons who are standing right behind her, one of which has got 2 gunshot wounds. The one that's got the 2 gunshot wounds isn't doing anything. With a 5, the other one's all open fire. So you're going to go ahead and you're going to take a slug to the one arm you do have.
I would open fire also.
Yep, this is going to be a whole firefight, so.
Okay.
They had like their guns leveled on you in case this happens, so. Winston, you're also going to take one harm. You just get clipped in your arm. Just shot in the arm.
Son of a monkey!
Sterling, you're going to go ahead and take a shot in the gut. So that you go ahead and mark shot in gut for your harm. And Lizzie, go ahead and roll, because you were ready to do the thing. You're going to have a shoot-off here. I'm going to roll a d6 in here. We're going to see who is the faster draw out of you and this hench person.
Yeah, probably you, because I rolled a 1.
They rolled a 5, so they actually, they see you pulling your gun, they just shoot, and they actually clip the gun out of your hand. Okay, now we're going to come back for y'all later, but we have a lot of gunshot wounds, and this Taylor is bleeding out, so they also grab a box of gauze out of there, and they just back out with their medical supplies while she's holding onto her neck. And the next time we see you all, if you cross our paths again, we will shoot on sight. Do you all understand?
It doesn't seem like we understand, no.
Swift, do you remember I'm a sharpshooter, right?
You won't see us coming.
I'll see you. You won't see me.
Swift is busy gurgling, so tell you what. Max, go ahead and roll. Actually, Max and Liz, go ahead and roll. Sway to try and convince them that they shouldn't shoot you right now with just threatening them.
Is it sway or command?
Got a 4.
It's command, yeah. Either way, yeah, a 4. A 4 is like a mixed success, so.
Okay, I'm gonna take a couple things of stress to do this, because I have no command.
Yeah, you can only take stress one time per roll, so you can take stress once. Okay.
A 4 and a 3.
With a 4 and a 3, they're like, shouldn't have said that, and they shoot you again. Go ahead and mark one more harm. You know, Max is going to get shot in his good leg, and Liz, you're going to get shot in your gun hand.
Of course.
None of this was necessary. Stop!
Can I take stress and try to attack?
This is going to be a very short campaign at this rate. Yes, you may take stress to try and attack. Assume you're attacking one of the two that's capable of shooting and not the lady who's gurgling blood or the guy with the gunshot wound in his shooting hand?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, go ahead and roll to skirmish with one of the two good shooters.
That's 2 6s.
you clobber this guy. I'm going to say you clobber him so hard with a crit, you actually just reach out and Hulk smash the two good shooting goons' heads together, and they're both unconscious.
Fuck yeah.
All right. That was really good, but none of this was good. Like, what were we all thinking here, people? We had a deal. We were going to get to walk away with all of our stuff and no injuries. And now here we are. You're bleeding. I'm bleeding. Everybody is bleeding. And there are 2 other goons at the front of the train.
Yeah, there's one at the front of the train. No, you actually see in the distance, though, as you kind of like peek out where the crates have been dumped, you see a figure that shouldn't be like, you normally wouldn't see a silhouette from this far away of a human being. But this is a big, hulking man, and he's moving fast.
You just found Lord.
Yeah, Lord has been, while you guys are having this elaborate shootout, running, because he's done being possessed, towards the train. Because he only jumped off about a minute ago. So you guys made it about You made a couple miles away from him, but he's closing in fast.
We need to get this train started, and we need to get this train going.
Can I pull my rifle and use sharpshooter special ability to hit him?
Explain to me your sharpshooter special ability so I can determine whether or not it's useful without your shooting hand.
I can push myself to do one of the following: make a ranged attack at extreme distance beyond what's normal for the weapon, or unleash a barrage of rapid fire to suppress the enemy.
I'm going to go ahead and say, with your shooting hand injured, it will be a roll for that in addition to pushing yourself.
Okay.
And you will take a -1 die because you have your shooting hand is injured.
Right.
Yes, you can't shoot him from this far away, but you're going to roll hunt with one less die.
I got double fours.
Yeah, so like you clip him in the shoulder and it hurts like hell. You think you might have slowed him down.
We need to get this train started.
Sterling, go up front and get the train going before this dude catches up.
Mm-hmm. Is that a thing I can do?
Do you have proficiency with land? You actually realize, like, you see, like, the other goon walking on the side of the train, and you hear, like, the train starting to pick up speed. He told the conductor, you know, give me a minute to make sure. And he, like, gives the thumbs up to the conductor because he sees the boxes in the distance. He doesn't see what's going on. So the train starts moving. And then as you get a little further away, you hear cursing in the distance as he sees what happened to Swift Taylor, who is nursing a stab wound that narrowly missed her jugular. And you guys get the impression you've made enemies of the Lord and Taylor
gang. We've made enemies of the Lord and Taylor gang, Paul? Is that what we've done?
I think they made some enemies.
You know.
Speaking of the gang, the two unconscious fellas, can I just finish them off?
They were left for dead, honestly. But yeah, you can.
Thank you. As I do so, I stand up. I'm bleeding from my good arm and my good leg, and I stand as tall as I can and go,
"Now, we have a means for notoriety. Where am I? Why am I bleeding?"
I get some of the first aid kit stuff out of that one crate and start wrapping everybody's wounds up.
I'll be considered stable for now. You know, the danger is past. The train has will probably be in Salvation in about half an hour, and you'll be able to get proper medical care there. But for now, your cargo is safe.
So we have another problem.
Dr. Winston, why are you bleeding?
Someone made some very poor choices and put me in harm's way when I was desperately trying to keep us all out of harm's way.
Yeah, Max.
Oh, the fool.
But you know what? Now we have another problem we need to solve. We have all of these unconscious, bleeding people, and we're about to head into customs, and they're going to see all these bleeding, unconscious people all around our boxes.
As soon as Max made sure they were dead, I tossed them out the cargo onto the ground.
Oh, no need for that. I have plans for them.
No, you do not. You have no plans for any of them. We are mailmen, first and foremost. We are scoundrels, secondly. I don't understand what he's seizing. I'm just going to walk off and just raise my hands in the air and just rant and rave on the other side of the train car where no one can hear me.
You all take your seats. You figure, oh, we're good with this when we get to Salvation. And the train rolls in and it eases to a stop in Salvation. And we will find out what happens to you all at Salvation next time. Thank you all for playing. This has been Blades in Paradise.
Blades in Paradise is Paul Kinter as Master of Ceremonies, Justin Langston as Maximilian Graves, Faith Queenie Long as Lizzie Calhoun, ML Riley as Sterling Ackred, and myself, Jim Remus, as Dr. Winston Thoreau. Dami Widener is our editor. You can directly support this show at patreon.com/bardrocknetwork, starting at just $3 a month. You can join us on Discord, you can come play games with us, we'll even send you network swag at the end of the year. You can visit our sponsor, Evil Hat Games, and use code BARDROCK10 to buy cool games like Blades in the Dark, and let them know we sent you. You can support the podcast for free by sharing us on social media, word of mouth, or rating and subscribing on your favorite podcatcher. Lastly, you support us just by listening. Thank you for listening, dear friends.